The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Buzzing with names, I'm joined by Jake Sherman of Politico.com, co-author of The Morning Playbook. Good morning, Jake. The list is long, speculation frenzied. What's your short list?
Oh, I'm going to defer to the court watchers. Maggie Haberman made a good point on Twitter a few minutes ago, or at least I saw it a few minutes ago, that Kavanaugh, who's one of the top names being chosen, being bandied about at this moment, we should be wary because Trump is wary of Bush people, and he was Bush's staff secretary. So that's one interesting nugget to think about as we kind of enter this frenzy period. I guess what's really on my mind is whether any Senate Democrats can vote for this, and whether Chuck Schumer could hold his caucus together in against Donald Trump's Supreme Court pick, something he was not able to do last time.
I don't think that's possible, given Joe Manchin wants a job and Heidi Heitkamp wants a job and Joe Donnelly wants a job and Claire McCaskill wants a job and Bill Nelson wants a job. In fact, I think I saw in Politico Playbook that a super PAC's already up in Florida urging Bill Nelson to support someone.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That was first in Playbook this morning. A Trump-aligned group is already spending money in all these key states saying basically the message is the left wants to block Supreme Court Trump's Supreme Court pick, tell Bill Nelson or tell Heidi Heitkamp to support a conservative nominee for the Supreme Court is the basic message, not 100% there. So, you know, it's exactly right. It's going to be tough for them to not support somebody, but it really depends who Trump chooses. And I think a lot of Democrats and liberals, probably rightfully so if you're a liberal, believe that this could be the most consequential pick in our lifetime or in many lifetimes. So I understand the alarm that a lot of Democrats and liberals feel.
You know, John James up in Michigan, who's my outside chance of getting an upset win, is praying that it's Judge Larson on the Sixth Circuit, longtime Supreme Court Justice in Michigan, University of Michigan Law School grad. She's young. She's conservative. She's been just recently vetted by the full field background investigation. He is just hoping it's Judge Larson, because Debbie Stabenow voting against a Michigan Supreme Court Justice who's a woman presents just a terrible political difficulty for her. I think a bunch of Republicans who think politically as opposed to judicially would like Amuletar Parr, because it would be the first Indian-American nominated. Many Catholic, math-attending Catholics would hope for Judge Barrett, Notre Dame law professor turned Sixth Circuit judge recently. There are lots of political considerations here. I think anyone gets confirmed. I'm actually very confident, and I think Democrats dig themselves a hole with this frenzy as Amul. In fact, I want to play for you, Jake. You should hear this. Akhil Amar is a Yale professor of law. He has been a guest on this show. He's written for the journal I edit, Chapman Law School. He's just a wonderful, smart guy. He's a man of the left. Here's what he had to say yesterday. I want my audience to hear it. Cut number one. He's on with Ali Velshi over at MSNBC.
Now, that said, the list, I just wanted to do that before we, yep, you know, focus, and we'll have lots of time to focus on possible nominees. I know the list. I know several people on the list, like Jeff. Several people on the list are my former students, and the ones whom I know on the list are actually very impressive people. I'm a Democrat. I voted for Hillary Clinton, but the list is a distinguished list. And even if the person picked is to the right of Justice Kennedy on some issues, some of them are actually his former law clerks, that would only mean, frankly, from a political science perspective, that the middle of the court shifts to John Roberts. It doesn't shift all the way to the furthest right person on the court. And that's the new swing justice. There will always be a swing justice. It's just where that swing happens. And just to remind everyone, John Roberts is a very good man. And he actually, in the most important, he's more conservative than Justice Kennedy,
yes,
but in the most important decision of his life, the Obamacare case,
he voted
with
not in a way that everybody
four
expected.
Democrat appointees, and actually Justice Kennedy voted with the Republican appointees. So it's a really important position. It is the swing position. Jeff is right. This is maybe the most significant vacancy that we've had, you know, in a generation at least. But let's first take, you know, deep breath. No matter what, there are nine people on the court, and the eight that are left are all very good, even
now,
as they disagree.
Jake Sherman, that doesn't do much for ratings, but Akhil Amar is absolutely right. I mean, it's just a deep breath. I shared an office with the Chief Justice for a year. He's a center-right guy. He's just like I am. He's just like most people are. The law is balls and strikes. And when people start, I mean, Chris Matthews said it's the Spanish Civil War. Really? Let's take a deep breath here. Isn't the city melting down?
I think a lot of the reaction that you're seeing is because of the recent rulings, which have been particularly stinging for Democrats on unions, which you've discussed, you talked about on Twitter yesterday.
Yep.
I think it's because they're coming off of these decisions, which are really difficult for a lot of Democrats and liberals to stomach. And they've seen Kennedy historically as the defender of the creed or the defender of their creed. And I think that's the main reaction that you're seeing. Now, we had an event yesterday, a live event in D.C. with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell before the announcement, unfortunately, and we touched on judges and on the circuit court system and the Supreme Court, and he said holding the seat open for Gorsuch was the most consequential decision he's ever made in his life. And the way he views the judicial selection process is quite simple. He basically says the American people voted for a center-right country. There's only 20 out of the last 100 years where all branches of government have been Republican. And he needs to take advantage of that. And he believes he wants to deliver a center-right judicial system for the American people. Now, I have a question I don't know the answer to. If the Supreme Court pick gets through, and I agree with you, it almost will 100% get through in my estimation. Will this affect the midterm in that will Democrats be deflated and not come out to vote because there really is no chance to shape the Supreme Court for any period of time after this? Or there is, but when Ginsburg eventually steps down, I don't know how Democrats react. If this is a galvanizing situation or if this is a deflating situation, I don't know the answer to that at this point.
Well, my take on that, Jake, is that for the center right, it is always an issue because they know actuarial tables and they realize that Judge Ginsburg is 85 and Judge Breyer is 81. And then you drop down to Justice Kennedy, I mean, Justice Thomas, who's 70. And so the next two likeliest are those are the genuine swing votes. Right. Those are that moves the center of the court from Chief Justice Roberts of extraordinary character as well as temperament, and it moves it to the right, probably over to Justice Alito, assuming for a moment that it's Barrett, Larson, Tharpar, Kavanaugh, maybe Kethledge, maybe Margaret Ryan, maybe Justice Willett. That's my short list of seven. And that would significantly change. So the right remains activated. I don't know about the left. Right now, I think the left is burying itself. I think America looks at people talking about the Spanish Civil War and hooting at Sarah Huckabee Sanders and chasing Secretary Chow. I really think, Jake, and you tell me that this does not play well in ordinary America. I just spent 4 hours down in driving and stopping at 7-Elevens and got stuck in the traffic on the 95 on the weekend. Ordinary America just doesn't watch cable. It's, you know, it's like 1% of America watches cable and reads Politico, and 5% of America listens to this show. But most of America says, "What are you people nuts?"
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, and I think the best example of this phenomenon that you're talking about is the abolishing ICE issue, right? I would say that Stephen Miller posits that border security and Trump's policies on the border are a 90-10 issue. That's not true. Trump's policies are not 90-10, but securing the border is a 90% proposition when asked about in a broad sense. Things like separating families at the border is a complete non-starter, but on the other end, the reaction to that, which is on the left, which is abolish ICE, there is no percentage of Americans, a very low percentage of Americans, that would hear that and say, yeah, we should abolish the agency charged with protecting immigration and customs enforcement. It's absolutely crazy. And in many cases, Democrats will tell you behind the scenes that the party is moving too far to the left, and it's bad on a national perspective. Now, I will say it is very important to notice that you're a Republican, that incumbents, yes, are being knocked off in Joe Crowley's case, and Democratic enthusiasm and energy is at an all-time high, and that should keep Republicans on the lookout. It's a very important thing to remember. If enthusiasm is at a high, that's bad for Republicans. But you're absolutely right. There is a massive fear in the Democratic Party that they are shifting too quickly and too far to the left.
And so here's the giant trapdoor. We send up Amul Tharpar. We send up Amy Barrett. We send up Joan Larson. Anyone who isn't an inside the Beltway pick, this kind of goes against Kavanaugh, who's on my short list and would be, I think, the likeliest were at normal times. You send up Margaret Ryan. Remember that name, by the way, or Justice Willett, Judge Willett. And the left melts down, and there are lots of demonstrations and lots of angry words and just kind of the crazy cable stuff. I think the country recoils and exiles the Democrats more. I think we pick up 5, 6, 7 seats in the Senate. I really think that Mitch is going to hold this in early September because voting starts in early October. It's a 12-week process on average. I don't see one defection. I think these Democrats have to vote for this nominee. And let's close with there, Jake. Donnelly, Heidkamp, McCaskill is a little bit less so, but yeah, she has to. Missouri's deep red. Nelson has to vote for this nominee. Donnelly has to vote for this nominee. I think Debbie Stabenow has to vote for this nominee. And I'll tell you, I really think that Pennsylvania Casey is going to have to vote for this nominee. They want their jobs.
I'm not sure that all of them will, but someone like Heidkamp already has. And we'll see. If the economy is good, that's a huge factor here, and that's a huge factor benefiting Republicans, benefiting the president, benefiting his party. I agree with you. It's going to be a very tough vote for a lot of these guys. The dynamics to me are not clear. It depends a lot on who they pick, who the president picks, and what the situation is. But it's really tough in the middle of an election season to be in this position.
And I really hope the Democrats keep melting down. I just want them to have a 24/7 on the wildest-eyed Democrats saying things like the Spanish Civil War. I love that stuff. Jake Sherman from Politico. Thank you, my friend.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.